Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The ruling on praying towards the graves and the masjids that have graves and the history of the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِنَّ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنْفُسِنَا وَسَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يُوَفِّقَنَا لِمَا يُحِبُّ وَيَرْضَى اللَّهُمَّ عَلِّمْنَا مَا يَنْفَعُنَا وانفعنا بما عملتنا وزدنا علما وعملا متقبلا يا ذا الجلال والاكرام وصلى الله على محمد واله وصحبه وسلم اما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.
وعليكم
السلام. We pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this beneficial and cause the beneficial knowledge to spread pleasantly, inshallah ta'ala. The section that we're covering is in the fiqh of the salah. And the shurut of the prayer, or the shurut or conditions for the validity of the salah. And previously we spoke about the facing of the qibla, and also the praying place and the places that are forbidden to pray. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we come to the next hadith, which is regarding praying towards the graves. عن أبي مرثد الغنوي قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها. On the authority of Abi Marthad al-Ghanawi, he said that I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم stating, do not pray towards the graves, and do not sit upon them. The hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim, Rawahu al-Muslim. So here in this hadith, beloved brothers in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, do not pray towards the graves. In this hadith, it has an authentic chain. It has a very clear ruling. The ulama, they researched the meaning of the words do not pray towards the grave and do not sit upon them. The apparent meaning of the text, the clear meaning of the text, do not pray towards the grave. Meaning, do not put a grave in your qibla, in the direction of your prayer. And what is meant by this is a grave that is nearby, not one that is far away, or one that is closed off behind a wall. In that case, it would not be considered praying towards the grave. The prohibition of praying towards the grave, we mentioned this previously in the last halata, it is in order to safeguard the tawheed, and to safeguard a Muslim from resembling the people of Wathaniya, the pagans, the idolaters who turn towards the graves in their prayer. And also to safeguard the Muslim from those looking like those who worship people in the graves or pray towards or prostrate towards the graves. So here in this hadith, which is, when is it considered prostrating towards a grave? What is the condition that is considered prohibited? What exactly is it when we, that would be called praying towards a grave? So here the ulama, they studied this hadith from a number of angles. First of all, they said, is praying in a masjid that has a grave, is this considered praying towards the grave? This is the issue that is very commonly spoken about. Praying in a masjid that has a grave. And when is it prohibited to pray in a masjid that has a grave? And is this considered prostrating towards a grave? So here the ulama, they looked at the issue from a number of angles, primarily from two angles. First is the placement of the grave in the masjid. Where in the masjid is the grave? And number two, they looked at the asbaqiyya. Which was there first? Was the grave there first, and then the masjid was built over it? Or was the masjid there first, and then people came and they put somebody's grave inside of the masjid? These are two issues that the scholars, they research regarding the question of praying in a masjid that has a grave. First of all, the issue of which came first, the masjid or the grave. This is what the scholars, they researched. And they said that if a person was buried in a grave, and then somebody came and they built a masjid over his grave, then in this case, the scholars agree that the prayer is invalid inside of that masjid. The scholars agree that if the grave is within the apparent walls of the masjid, and the grave was there first, and then they built a masjid over that grave, such that the masjid is within the confines of the masjid, then praying in that masjid is invalid. And the reason for that is the building of this masjid over someone's grave, it has a shubha, it has a doubt that could appear that that masjid is giving reverence to the person in that grave. That the purpose of that masjid is to, it creates a doubt about it, that masjid being built, and whether it is built for the reverence of the person in the grave. And somebody choosing to pray in such a masjid, it creates a doubt about him seeking something that is forbidden in Tawheed. It creates a shubha if somebody seeks out such a masjid that was built over a grave. It creates a doubt about whether that person is seeking something that is forbidden in Tawheed from the grave being there and the masjid being built over it. So the ulama, they all agree that if the grave is there and somebody builds a masjid, due to the doubt about the purpose of that grave and the ta'leem of the grave, and the possibility that there's a shubha of seeking something from the person or the inhabitant of the grave, the ulama, they agree it's not allowed to pray in that masjid. If the grave was there, somebody, they died and he was buried in a grave, and people came later on, they put bricks around it and they built it into a masjid. The ulama, they all agree it is haram, and the prayer in fact is invalid. Not only is it haram, but the prayer would be null. It would not count in such a place. This is due to the shubha of seeking some benefit or giving some ta'zim, some greatness or some reverence to the person in the grave. Then the question comes up, what if the masjid was there first? And then a person died and he was brought and buried in the masjid, either out of ignorance or out of seeking some status. Somebody, he wanted to be buried in the grave, or seeking fame, or somebody just doing wrongdoing. He said, let's bury this person in the grave. Bury this person in the masjid. Now, so what is the ruling in this case? If the masjid was already there, and then somebody came and put a grave inside the masjid, what is the ruling on the validity of the prayer in this masjid? Here what the ulama is saying is that, first of all, we have to, the right of that place, piece of land, belongs to what was there first. So we look at the masjid was there first. Somebody came and he put a grave inside of the masjid. So the masjid, it was there first. So the ruling is for the masjid. This is a masjid. Somebody else put the grave inside. So the scholars, they say that when the masjid was there first and somebody came and buried somebody inside of that masjid, then in this case, we have to look at where that grave is in the masjid. Where did they put that grave? Did they put it in the back of the masjid? Did they put it on the side, in one of the sides of the masjid? Or did they put it in the qibla, in the front of the musallim? So the ulama, they all agree that if the grave is in the qibla, in the front where the people pray, and they're praying towards that grave, they all agree that the prayer is invalid. They all agree on that. And they say that if the grave is somewhere else, in the back of the masjid, then in this case, then the prayer remains valid. That is, if the masjid was there first, somebody else came and put a grave inside, but not in the qibla, somewhere else in the back, in the side, in some other place, where they're not, the musallin are not facing that grave. They're facing the qibla. There's nothing in the qibla. The grave is somewhere else where they don't see it when they're praying. Then the ulama say that the prayer is valid in this case, because the hukum is by what was there first. The masjid was there first, so that place has a right as a masjid. And then putting the grave in afterwards, it is not, it does not affect the validity of the prayer. If it's in other than the direction of the qibla. If the grave is in the qibla of the masjid, close or far, even if it's further away, if it's in the qibla, then prayer is not acceptable. It's not allowed to pray in this masjid. Thus the relation to the grave of the masjid is in two aspects. One is, what was there first? If the grave was there first, somebody came and built a masjid over the grave, no question, the prayers are invalid. One cannot pray in that place, because there is some shubha about the taking that place as a masjid and seeking something that could contradict Tawheed. If the masjid was there first and the grave was put in afterwards, then what do we have to do? How do we determine if it's allowed to pray or not? We have to look at the placement of the grave. Where in the masjid is the grave? If the masjid is in the qibla, the prayers are invalid. Agreement of the ulama. Except some of the ulama, they took it a step further. They gave a little bit more research and they said, if there is a wall or a barrier next to the grave, and the grave is beyond that wall, where you cannot see the grave, there's a wall in front of the qibla, then in this case, they said prayer there is makruh, but not haram. It's makruh because the words of the hadith says, do not pray towards the grave. And there's a grave somewhere there beyond the wall. But they said, due to the placement of the wall, a complete barrier, they said in this case, it would be makruh, the majority of ummah, they said it would be makruh to pray in such a masjid. The Prophet said, do not pray towards the graves, and do not sit on them. Do not sit on them. So, what does it mean, do not sit on the graves? The ulama, they say that if the grave is raised up slightly, leaning on the grave, or sitting on it, or if there's some platform or some type of rock there, sitting on it, the ulama, they say that this is what's being referred to. Do not sit on the grave. And then, in some narrations, it's mentioned that a person, he went and he slept on a grave. And he saw in a dream that he heard a voice saying, you have harmed us. You have bothered us. And the person was sleeping on that grave, or sitting on it. This is mentioned in some narrations. However, there's another narration that says that Ali, he was leaning on a grave, and nobody blamed him for it. Nobody said that he did something wrong. But most of the ulama, they say that sitting on the grave is a violation of the sanctity of the person who's buried there. The grave, even after many years go by, there's a sanctity of that place. So sitting on it or leaning on it would be violating the sanctity of the grave. Other ulama, they took it a step further, the do not sit on the graves, and it seems a bit strange, the Shaykh mentioned this view. He said, what is meant by do not sit on the graves is do not answer the call of nature on the grave. But the Shaykh, he said that this is very unlikely that any person in a sound state of mind would ever go to that extent. Unless they had some hatred, some kind of religious fervor that led them to do that. But any person, even a non-Muslim or Muslim, they would feel something in their conscience to answer the call of nature on top of a grave. So this view that what is meant by do not sitting on a grave is don't answer the call of nature on it, seems like this is a little bit far. And most likely what is meant is that a person should not sit on it at all. They should not sit on it. And it's a clear authentic hadith, narrated by Imam Muslim. So a person, they should not violate the sanctity of it. Now, we have a subject. Is it related to this issue? Okay. Going to the subject of burying a grave in a masjid, or building a masjid over a grave. One of the issues that's often debated and talked about and brought up over and over and over again, especially by people who do not study the text keenly and deeply, they like to bring up the issue about the Prophet's masjid of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it's regarding to his noble masjid. And they say the Prophet forbade praying in a masjid that has a grave. And here the Prophet's masjid has three graves. The grave of the Prophet, Abu Bakr, and Umar. And people are praying towards them. People, they pray behind it and they're praying towards them. So the Shaykh, he said, this issue is only brought up by either an ignorant person, or a foolish person, or somebody who wants to spread fitna. This is what the Shaykh said. And he said that he was on Hajj, and in 1985, Shaykh Ibn Baz, he was in a tent in Mina, and some students came, some people came, people who like to dig up rare hadiths and dig up things in history. They came to Shaykh Ibn Baz and the Shaykh was there, and they said, they brought up this issue with the Shaykh. And so the Shaykh, he said that he's going to talk about it later on in the lesson about that meeting. But what he wanted to say is that if you think deeply about the ahadith, and with the thinking of the Salaf al-Salaf, the Sahaba, and the Tabi'een, the predecessors, if we look at their thinking and their scales of things, the way they address this issue would not even be brought up. And the reason for that is that what was there first? Was the Prophet's masjid there first, or were the graves there first, and then the masjid was built over the graves? The masjid was there first. The Prophet's masjid was there first. He passed away afterwards. The three graves were added in afterwards. So the graves were not put inside of a masjid. The masjid was there. And nobody built a masjid over the graves either. Nobody came to the graves and built a masjid over it. The masjid already existed. And the graves were neighboring the masjid. They were neighboring it. And later on, the masjid was expanded. And the boundaries of the masjid, the house of Aisha, was included within the boundaries of the masjid. So nobody brought some graves and came in the door of the masjid and buried the people in the masjid. This did not take place. No. So the graves, they were separate. They had their own place, and the masjid had its own place. They were two separate places. But what took place is due to political reasons. In the time of a Khalifa named Walid, he commanded the ruler of Medina, who was Omar ibn Abdulaziz. He told him to expand the masjid and include the house of Aisha inside of the masjid, and also the house of Fatima. And the Shaykh, he mentions that this was done in spite of the objections of the people of Medina. Umar ibn Abdulaziz himself and the people of Medina, when they heard this decree, that Walid, he wrote a decree saying you have to expand the masjid and bring the rooms of Aisha with the three graves within the confines of the masjid. When the people of Medina, they heard about this decree, they cried. And they told Umar ibn Abdulaziz, they tried to object to it. But he said, this is the command of the Khalifa. I cannot go against the command of the Khalifa. It was done for a personal reason, not for religious reasons. The Khalifa, he wanted to do this. Umar ibn Abdulaziz had no choice. He had to carry it out. It wasn't done for a religious reason. So they cried when they heard that the houses of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ were going to be demolished and the rooms would be brought into the masjid. Sayyid ibn Musayyib, one of the Tabi'een, he said, I wished that the houses of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ remained so that people who come from far distant places, they can see how the Prophet lived. And that people who come in future generations will see how simple his living was, and so that they would not be overtaken by the dunya. So this is what Sayyid ibn Musayyib, he said. And so some people tried to stop it, but trying to stop it itself was becoming a fitna. So they left the matter. Allah's command took place, the masjid was expanded, and the rooms were included in the masjid. And the inhabitants of those rooms, whoever was there, Fatima was there, before the expansion, she was asked to move to another house that she had in Harra. Some ulama, they actually say that Fatima, when she passed away, they buried her in her room. Others say that she's buried in the Baqiyya. But in any case, those rooms were included within the expansion of the masjid. Now what is of concern here is that when Walid, he said, expand the masjid, and he commanded Umar ibn Abdulaziz, make the masjid bigger, Umar ibn Abdulaziz did not want to do it. He's from the people of Medina, he did not want to do that. But because of the political authority, he was forced to do that. And so the matter took place, and Aisha's room was included in the masjid. However, there was a wall that was built around the house of Aisha. And actually the Shaykh mentioned something very interesting, that Aisha, when she was in her house after the Prophet ﷺ had passed away, and his grave was there, and the two companions were there, people would come, the Prophet ﷺ's grave was there, and Umar was buried there, and Abu Bakr was buried there. People would come and want to say salam to the Prophet ﷺ. And this is very interesting. What they would do, mostly women, of course Aisha was living there, the women would come and they would want to say salam to the Prophet ﷺ. Some of the women would take some dirt from the grave and hide it in their pocket. So Aisha, look what she did. She told them to build a wall in her house itself. A wall between her place and where the graves were. So if anybody came in, all they could do is see the wall and say salam and go. This is what she commanded. So there's the wall that Aisha commanded to be built in his room. Then there's another wall, which is the wall of the room itself. And then Walid, he put a third wall around it. The Khalifa, he commanded that there would be a third wall built in a triangular shape around the whole place holding the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm sorry, Umar ibn Abdulaziz, he built the third wall. Umar ibn Abdulaziz, he commanded that they built a third wall around the graves. And he commanded something very interesting. He said, make the grave, the walls, in the form of a triangle. And make the base and the sides of the triangle facing south, east, and west, and make the part of the grave, the triangle facing north, make it a point, like the point of a pyramid or the point of a triangle. And the reason why he did that, he built the walls and the shape on the north side of the graves, is that from Medina, we pray south to face the Qibla. So the people would come from the north side to pray towards the Qibla, and all they could pray towards is a point, a complete point. There's no way they could face the graves itself. Whichever place they prayed at, from the north side, they would be facing a point, and then it would go away from the grave. So this was what Omar ibn Abdul Aziz, he built. He put it in such a manner that people could not pray towards the grave. So then after that, there was another place there that was called the Mihrab of Tahajjud, where Ali's radiallahu anhu used to pray. There's a place within that structure where the Prophet ﷺ, he came to Ali and one night in Fatima, and he said, "Why don't you get up for Tahajjud?" So Ali, he responded, he said, "If Allah wants to, our souls are in the hand of Allah. If He wants to, He'll send our souls back and we'll get up for Tahajjud." So the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't argue with him. He just turned away and he slapped his thigh on his cloak and he said, "وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْفَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا." Man is often argumentative. Because when people, they say the destiny, here the ulama say, we don't argue with them. Just stay silent. You know the destiny. And, you know, he wanted to encourage them to pray. So they have a place there within the structure, which is called the Room of Fatima. And there is a place called Mihrab of Ali, the Tahajjud, called Mihrab of Tahajjud, where he used to go and pray Tahajjud after that. Some of the ulama say that Fatima was also buried in her room. And some of them, they say that she's in the Baqi. So some of the ulama, they actually say that one can give salam to Fatima when they pass that area, and also give salam in the Baqi, the regular grave where the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ are buried. They say we could do both. Now the reason for this structure of building it like a triangle is that when you make sajda, you're facing a point. There's no actual, there's a zero point. There's nothing that you're facing actually. And so this would prevent a person from making sajda to the graves. After the third wall that was built by Omar ibn Abdul Aziz, the triangle, a fourth wall was built made out of iron. And this is what we see today. If we go to visit the grave of the Prophet, there's an iron gate all around the place. Now, after Omar ibn Abdul Aziz, this iron gate was also done around the time of Omar ibn Abdul Aziz or afterwards. Now, these four walls and the way the grave was and within the confines of the masjid, things remained this way for years, decades, and centuries. Generations went by, 1400 years almost went by, until 1985, when that meeting took place in the tents of Mina, when the Shaykh, he was sitting with Shaykh Ibn Baz, and some students of knowledge who like to dig up issues in history and rare texts and historical events, they brought up this issue. Nobody in the past had ever had a problem after the time of Omar ibn Abdul Aziz. Nobody had a problem with what was the place or the construction of the Masjid of the Prophet. So the Shaykh here, he was with Shaykh ibn Baz. And these students, they came and they said, "Why are the graves inside of the Masjid?" And they spoke and they debated with the Shaykh, and they wanted, of course, their view was that it should be removed out of the masjid. So the Shaykh was there and he was silent. Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salam, the one who explained his ahadith. And after a while, Shaykh Ibn Baz, the Grand Mufti of Saudi, he asked Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salam, "Why are you silent?" He said, "I've been holding myself back. And what I want to ask all of you is that, who is the one who included the rooms in the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ? Who was the one who did that?" They all said, "Omar ibn Abdul Aziz, Right? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he was a ruler of Medina, and he was compelled to do it by the ruler. He did it against his will. So then the Shaykh, he said, when Walid passed away, who became the Khalifa? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He was a Khalifa. And if he thought it was right, he would have removed the graves from the masjid. He's the Khalifa now, nobody's forcing him. He could have rebuilt the masjid again and took the graves out of the masjid of the Prophet. But he chose to leave it the way that it was. So then the Shaykh, he asked him, why did he do that? He said, I don't know. The Shaykh said, you have to. This is something very important. Why didn't he rebuild the masjid after he became the Khalifa? And then the Shaykh, he explained. He said, the matter was already done. The matter was finished. And if he wanted to rebuild it, it would become similar to what happened with the Kaaba, the story of the Kaaba. Right, right. There is the, when Harun al-Rashid, he came to Imam Malik, he wanted to rebuild the Kaaba the way that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ desired, but he didn't do it. The Prophet ﷺ, he wanted to rebuild the Kaaba on the original foundations of Ibrahim, which where right now you have the Hijr, there's a wall there. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, before his time, the Kaaba had been destroyed. And they rebuilt it and it ran out of stone. So what they did is they left the black stone and the wall on one side, they left it the way it was, but they shortened the side where the wall is right now. They didn't have enough stone to complete it, but they put a little wall there so that people would know that this is inside the masjid. This was done before the Prophet ﷺ's time. The Prophet ﷺ, he had told Ibn Zubayr. Ibn Zubayr is a Sahabi who came later on and he ruled Mecca. He said, if the people were not so close to the days of Kufr, I would have rebuilt the Kaaba on the original foundations. And I would have lowered the doors. There's only one door and they raised it up so people don't go inside. He said, I would have lowered the doors so people could come in and go out as they wish, and I would have rebuilt it on the foundations of Ibrahim. But he didn't do it. He desired it. Ibn Zubayr, when he became the ruler, he did that. He fulfilled the desires of the Prophet system and he rebuilt it. He made it longer. Now, Ibn Zubayr, he was killed by Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. He was a tyrannical ruler. When he captured Ibn Zubayr, he crucified him, killed him. And then Hajjaj, because he did not want to leave the action that Ibn Zubayr did, based on the Sunnah of the Prophet system, he destroyed the Kaaba again. And he put it back the way it was in the time of the Prophet system. And not the way that he desired it, but the way that it was built. And so then, Hajjaj, he had extra stones left when he made it smaller again. And those stones were once part of the Kaaba, so he felt they were sacred. And so he went and he sent a messenger to the mother of Ibn Zubayr. And he asked her, what should we do with these stones? And the mother of Ibn Zubayr, she said to the messenger, she said very interesting, miraculous words. She said, tell him to put it in his mouth. يَدَعُهُ فِي فِيهِ. So the messenger, he heard those words and he went back to Hajjaj. He was silent. He was too scared to tell him what she said. Hajjaj said, tell me, what did she say? I want to know verbatim what she said. So, and he said, I won't harm you. You know, just tell me what she said. He said, he was too scared to say it. So then he said, يَدَعُهُ فِي فِيهِ. That's the words that she said. And Hajjaj, when he heard these words, he understood it to mean put it in the mouth of the Kaaba. Not in her, in his mouth, his own mouth. So, he just took the stones and put it in the mouth of the Kaaba. He didn't harm the mother of Ibn Zubayr. So now, what happened after Hajjaj, when Harun al-Rashid became the Khalifa, he asked Imam Malik, Hajjaj destroyed the Kaaba, made it small again. I want to make it big again. The way that Ibn Zubayr did it and the way the Prophet ﷺ wanted. What did Imam Malik say? This is the really, you know, the wisdom in that Imam Malik, he said. He said, do not do that. Do not build it, destroy it, and rebuild it the way the Prophet ﷺ wanted. I'm afraid the Kaaba will be a plaything for the kings. I'm afraid that the kings, every king will come and he will rebuild it. I want to build it like it was in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. I want to build it like the way the Prophet ﷺ wanted it. And they will keep using the Kaaba as a plaything for to show their desires. And he wanted to close that door of fitna, so that the kings would not play, you know, play with the house of Allah. It's too sacred for people to rebuild it any way they want. So then, this is the reason why the Shaykh, he said, this is similar to the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. That people who come and they debate, and they say, why are the graves there? They should be taken out. Remove them from the graves. If some ruler did that today, what if another ruler comes later on? The rulers don't stay the same. Rulers change. Another ruler might come and say, no, let's put it back inside the masjid. And what would happen? The graves of the Prophet ﷺ and his two noble companions would be a plaything for the rulers. And also the Shaykh, he said one more thing. And this is his personal view. And he felt strongly that it's correct. He said that the Prophet he said, do not take my grave as an Eid, which is a place of festivity and making tawaf and things like this. So if those students of knowledge got what they wanted, take the graves out. Some other students of knowledge, they might come later on and say, put them back in. This is one issue. Number two, the Shaykh said in his view that when the grave, if it's outside of the masjid, people could go there and make tawaf around it. They would try to use it and make tawaf around it. And by being in the masjid, it's under the guardianship of the caretakers of the masjid. Nobody can go there and make tawaf around it. And he told the people this, those students of knowledge who are arguing with Shaykh Ibn Baz. He said, what if people come later on and they start to make tawaf? So those students of knowledge said, put up some signs. Say, do not make tawaf. So the Shaykh, he laughed. He said, let me tell you a joke. So he said, there was a fox and a wolf. So the fox, he wanted the help of the wolf to attack some sheep. And he was afraid of the shepherd. So he brought a piece of paper. There was nothing written on it. But he gave it to the wolf and he said, this is a letter from the king saying we're allowed to eat the sheep. The wolf didn't know how to read. So he said, okay. And so they went and the wolf and the fox, they attacked the sheep. The wolf ate a lot. The fox was smart, he only ate a little bit. When the shepherd came, or the person who owned it came, the fox ran away. The shepherd, the wolf, he didn't pay attention to what was happening. It was too heavy, he couldn't run away. And the shepherd started beating the wolf. And the wolf said, no, no, I had a note. I had a letter, it said that we could eat this. So the Shaykh, he said, if you put a note up there, how many people don't know how to read? You have so many people coming. You know, that anybody could, you know, come there. Many people don't know how to read. Many people are too ignorant to pay attention to it. And the Shaykh himself was a caretaker of Masjid Nabawi. And he said, people would try to make tawaf even through the masjid. They would try to go through one door and try to go around the minbar. And there was a little opening there that he would try to go around and try to make tawaf. Even the masjid the way it is now. He said he saw this when he was caretaker of the masjid. So the Prophet ﷺ, he did not want his grave to become place of Eid where people go and make tawaf, etc. And so what would be a grave mistake is that if it's taken out, perhaps this would be make it a place where people would do shirk with his grave. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not make my grave an idol that is worshipped after me. So perhaps there is some wisdom that things took place the way they did. And it's protecting the grave now from idolatry and people going and doing tawaf. So the view of taking the graves out of the masjid, Sheikh said, is an extreme view, a very rare and strange view that is not in accordance to the understanding of the Salaf as-Saleh. And the Sheikh wanted to warn us about that. And Ibn al-Qayyim, in one of the poems he wrote, he said, Allah has protected the Prophet's grave by putting three walls around it, like a triangle, you know, so that nobody can worship, can make sajda to it, inshallah. So this is a very important issue, sensitive, and it's very important that the Shaykh wanted to bring this out so that people can understand this in the right context, with a full understanding of the Salaf, and not just taking one hadith or one strange view that doesn't have a basis, or digging up some words in history, inshallah ta'ala. We pray that Allah ta'ala protect us from all the fitan, all of the fitan, ya Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allah knows best. Jazakumullah khair. Anybody have any questions? Inshallah, I think Brother Hamid had a question. Yes, the question was, how long is the grave sacred? Scholars just say even for hundreds of years, the grave has always remained sacred. And if there is a grave and very, very, you know, a grave necessity, then the grave can be moved to another place. That was done, and sometimes there was a flood and things happened. They had to move in a very, very grave circumstances that can be done. But normally speaking, the grave is always sacred, even for hundreds of years. It's never allowed to transgress the sacredness of those graves.
So you cannot bury somebody in the same grave.
Burying in the same grave is allowed, but that's not considered violating the sacredness. Over, if enough years go by where the bones have been decomposed, you can rebury another person in the grave, but it's not allowed to take that graveyard and build something over it, for example. Build a house over it, or build other things over it, it has a sacredness. Jazakallah. As far as I know, Allahu A'lam. Yes, Brother Fadl.
Say, for instance, like I'm just moving here to Waterbury, Connecticut, and I don't know the town, or if there's a graveyard here. So, if I know, but I don't know, I'm not accountable. But there's my last year.
Okay, if the graveyard is beyond the masjid, beyond the walls of the masjid, or a further distance away, then the ulama say it has no effect. It doesn't harm the prayer at all. There's a masjid, and outside of the masjid there's a graveyard. Even if it's in the qibla, but it's beyond the walls of the masjid, it's not inside the masjid, then this will not affect the validity of the prayer. Inshallah.
I'm saying like if I'm at the house.
If you're in your house, again, if it's beyond the walls of the house, then that's not considered praying towards the grave. As long as you have a wall, and the grave is not within the house itself. And we read last time that we shouldn't pray in a graveyard itself, except the janazah prayer. It's allowed to do that, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Allah is going to see. Any other questions, inshallah? Feel free to ask. Yes, Rabbi.
Now with the boundaries of the masjid or the waquf, wherever, because we have this issue back home. They build the masjid, and I asked the elder, because now there are graves around the masjid. Let's say these are the walls, this is the salas, and over there where we have the parking lot,
there are
graves.
This does not harm the prayer, no. Huh? It doesn't harm the prayer. It's outside of the boundaries of the masjid. There's no harm in that. No. It, within the masjid itself, again, if the masjid was there first, and if the grave is in other than the qibla, there's no harm on the prayer. If it's in the qibla of the masjid, then it would nullify the prayer. Some of the ulama said if you put a wall around it, then it would be makruh to pray towards the nahara.
The other case was a different place. The graves were on the side of the masjid. Because people, you know, they were doing out of bid'ah or ignorance.
Was the masjid there first, or were the graves
there
first?
Was the masjid first,
okay.
And then they put the graves. Some people
died,
and they put on the side.
But it's not in the qibla.
No.
Then the jumhur, the majority of the ulama, they have said that it's okay to pray there. This is the jumhur, the majority of thinking of Islam.
Yeah, when the brothers came from, you know, like 20 years ago,
yes,
they studied in the deen, and they came and they ordered to put a wall, actually. They separated
them. That's right. That's better. Yes.
Some they dug up and they throw in some place, but there are still like three or four.
Right, right. If there's a wall there,
and they build a wall,
then the owners say it's not, even if you pray towards it, it's makruh. It doesn't nullify the prayer. If it's on the side and it's within a wall and the masjid was there first, then the jumhur, the majority of scholars say it's allowed, inshallah. Allah knows best. Yes, maybe we'll take three more questions. Yes, Brother Fadl. Question about reading Surah Yasin on the Mayyit. The majority of ulama, they say that reading the Yasin is on the dying person. Iqra Yasin ala mawtakum. What it means here, read Yasin on your dying, not the ones that are dead. Just like it says, laqinu mawtakum, la ilaha illallah. It doesn't mean somebody's already dead, you read that, tell them to say La ilaha illallah before they die. So reading Surah Yasin, the majority of ulama say that should be done before the person passes away. And many of the ulama say it's a type of innovation to read Quran on the side of the grave, to go to the grave and to read Quran there. Many of the ulama said it was not done by the Sahaba or the Salaf. Some of the ulama they permitted it. But the stronger view, Allah knows best, is that it's an innovation and it's better to avoid it, inshallah ta'ala. Some of the ulama say that reading the Quran also is a benefit to the deceased. Sheikh Hussein al-Sheikh, he said that if it's done in the home, he said this is also an innovation where people get together, they each read a part of the Quran and they say, we're going to donate this reward to the dead. This gathering itself was not done in the time of the Sahaba. So getting together, every time a person dies, they say there's the washing, the janazah, the burial, and then the Quran reading. It became like a part of the burial process. So here the ulama say that this is not correct, to have that gathering. If a child, he reads some Quran and he asks Allah to benefit his parent by himself, then the ulama said this is okay, inshallah ta'ala. Allah knows best. Jazakumullah khairan. And we have this one.
If there is a cemetery,
yes, yes,
and it's old, maybe 100 years, 50 years, and no sign, which one you can see in the cemetery or something like that, and you can build a masjid, and after that, you know, before was cemetery.
The masjid was built over a cemetery,
yes,
and they didn't know about it. And some people came later, and the family of the said, "Our deceased is buried here." The right goes to what was there first. Whoever was there first, they have the right. Those deceased people, they, even though their graves are buried, but they have their sanctity to that place. Mm-hmm. They have the right to that place. The masjid should be moved somewhere else in that case. That's what the ulama, they gave that ruling on that case, inshallah.
So how about the house? If you build the house and you pray...
Again, the dead have a right to that place. That land is the right of the dead. To somebody to go into the house over the grave, then this is, violating that right. If it's the family of the deceased, they put the grave in the house, not as an act of worship, like Aisha, the Prophet says the grave was put in the house where he passed away, Omar, Abu Bakr, then that's something else. But if somebody else came and bought a plot of land and they built a house and then some family come and say, our deceased are buried here, then they have to nullify the contract. That's what I read from the scholars and Allah knows best. Any other questions, inshallah? Yes, let's go back quickly.
So the wall,
yes,
that separates the masjid from the grave is has some type of sutra?
The ulama, they did consider it in that way. If the grave is in the qibla and you put a wall as a barrier, then the Ulama said it's makruh. It's still disliked because the Prophet said, don't pray towards the grave. You're still at least somewhat praying towards the grave, but they consider that sufficient to that, you know, that it would still be allowed to pray in that case. Now, this is the majority view of the Ulama. Allah knows best. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Wa sallallahu ala habibina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We ask Allah to taqabbal minna jami'an. And Allah knows best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.